Welcome to Sports and a Slice of Life. And now, here's your host, Dave Lewis.
Big time voice with a big time guest, Strawberry from the Wake Up Show, 93.3 Cube FM Seattle. How's it going?
It's going great. I didn't know. Am I supposed to take my shirt off also? Yours is off, but you just came back from the gym. Is that why? Should I take mine off also so we match?
I'm wearing a small, you know, like my middle school t-shirt to look a little bit tighter right now. A little extra.
Now you look buff. You look ripped as always.
I bless your heart. Hey, you remind me of when you were in San Francisco, you were a trainer.
Yeah.
And going back to your early 20s, you were jacked. How do you stay fit and juggle a workout schedule doing morning drive?
Ooh, I used to have it pretty dialed in, and it's really difficult to stay regimented and to keep a schedule, but I would be up at a certain time every morning. I would eat healthy, no soda, no fast food, because not just for my workouts, but also your body needs to get through the day. And if you're just pumping Red Bull and French fries in it, your body's going to crash. So I would go through the show, come home, sometimes take a nap, but then I would go work out at 4:30 every night. So whether it was a boxing class I would go to, or I have a Peloton, or I would go to the gym, but I was pretty regimented. So I would do a 4:30 workout. When I was at my best, I would also wake up in the morning and do like 15 minutes of cardio to wake up. But eat right, sleep, and then every day do some sort of workout. When I was doing nights in San Francisco, I had more size on me because that's when I was big into CrossFit and I was big into distance running. So now it's really just keep my endurance and my stamina up so that I can do a show on 4 or 5 hours of sleep if I need to.
I remember what you told me one time. So it stuck with me. When you were a trainer, you'd get people fitter and you'd say, hey, don't just worry about dropping 10 or 15 pounds. What are you going to do with that body?
Yeah.
You know, be active and have something that you're passionate about rather than just trying to look good in a tank top.
Yeah. It's so rewarding being able to, you know, whether it's lift a heavy suitcase to go, you know, to the airport, or to be able to, you know, run 3 miles, you know, and do a 5K when you haven't done that before. So yeah, it's just the fact that you can blow through different, you know, challenges and overcome these obstacles that, you know, used to have problems with. I had this one client, and she was a larger woman. And I think we got to a point where she dropped, I think it was 20 pounds. And she was upset because she was still relatively large. And I said, I'll tell you what, go grab a 20 pound dumbbell. And for the whole day today while we're working out, you have to carry that around. And she realized how much weight she dropped, because in the scheme of things, she was only looking at how much she has to go. But if you carry a 20 pound dumbbell around with you and you realize that used to be on my body and I got rid of it, it's something that you really need to internalize and celebrate. Like, I got rid of that. I am 20 pounds lighter. And a 20 pound dumbbell is heavy.
How long did it take to drop the 20?
For her, because I was such a great trainer, I think it was, I can't recall, it was probably like maybe 2 or 3 months. But we did a lot of functional movement. We did a lot of cardio. Like I said, I was big into CrossFit. So I borrowed a lot of their exercises, and I was really harping on people's, I wouldn't write them a menu, but I was really harping on their diets. I'm like, stop the fast food, get rid of the soda, you know, eat right. And then they combined the two. They combined the kitchen and the gym, and it would just fall off of them.
How much of being fit is kind of like a metaphor for life when you're, you know, focused on doing something, being determined? Maybe it's a part of your identity where you can go tackle the world because you took care of yourself first.
Yeah, very much. And I don't want to be accused of, you know, body shaming or anything like that. But, you know, the healthier you are, the easier time you'll have in life. And we, you know, in our house, I am engaged to a very beautiful certified holistic health and wellness coach. And she is deep into the health and wellness field. And we just kind of have a mantra where, you know, we buy organic, we buy non-GMO, and it's a little more pricey. But we, you know, our mantra is you either pay at the grocery store now or you pay the medical bills later. So we go grocery bills now versus medical bills later. And you just, you know, why make things harder on yourself? Why, you know, why set yourself up for failure? Eat right, treat your body like a fine-tuned machine and only put the good stuff in it.
Hey, I'll put you on the spot. On your bio, you call Urella your hero. Right? Hey, so when are you going to marry that girl?
That was a weird leap.
Yes. She's fantastic, right? So cut the bullshit and make it happen, dog.
We want to, and we were venue shopping in the very beginning of the engagement, and then COVID hit, and not only could we not venue shop, anytime we would try to, you know, talk to a place, they go, I don't know, it's up in the air, things may get canceled. And we had a bunch of friends who had their weddings scheduled, then canceled, then rescheduled, then canceled. And we didn't want to go through that. So luckily, both of us are enjoying our engagement. We don't feel either of us are forcing the other to do it. We both want to get married. We both have large families. So we want to make sure that everybody can get together without some hotel saying, no, you only have 10 people allowed. So we're kind of at the mercy of this pandemic as far as the dream wedding that we want to create.
And building a great foundation with your show up in Seattle. I heard today's show on demand, and I think it's the streak of 1,200 some odd days with no Russell Wilson in the studio.
So Russell Wilson is a god out here in Seattle, and the Seahawks are a cult. And I say that respectively because I'm from the Bay Area, as you are. And everybody has the luxury of choosing. Are you a Niner fan or a Raider fan? Are you a Giants fan or an A's fan? You know, Seattle is a one-team town. You are a Seahawks fan. You are a Mariners fan. And everybody gets behind the team. So Russell Wilson's a god. When we first started the show, I said, you know what? We are the new show in Seattle. How cool would it be to have Russell Wilson give us that cosign to come in the studio and, hey, Seattle, these are my guys. This is my show. And we kept a tally. And at the start and end of every show, we always invite him to come by. And yeah, like you said, it's been 1,912 days or something like that since we've been inviting him.
Yep.
And he knows about it too, because on the 100th day, I put together this like montage of all the different ways we invited him. We bought a Russell Wilson's Wheaties box for the window. I met him at a soccer game and I said, hey, come on to the studio. And he goes, yeah, one day. So I put this montage together, put it on social media. His wife, Sierra, liked the post. So I know he saw it because we have listeners call in all the time, say, hey, I installed cable at his house and he knows that you're inviting him. And like we have third parties tell us that he is aware that we've been inviting him. He just hasn't shown up for 1,912 days or whatever it was.
Have you given up hope?
No, I think it's fun. And I think the longer he leaves us hanging, the more fun it is. And people do keep asking me about that. Like, has he come by yet? Or like, no. They're like, you've been here 3 years. I'm like, I know.
Now, he is rumored, you know, to be possibly on the trading block coming off a 7-10 season. Here's Russell Wilson talking about, will he be in Seattle?
You know, my goal is to win more Super Bowls. And my plan is to win them here. You know, it's that simple. You know, I think that's and so that's, you know, there's nothing really else other than that.
No, he has a no trade clause, so they can't get rid of him.
Yeah, and I think it's almost a tradition now. I joked on the radio that it's the traditional, trade me rumors. This has happened the last two or three seasons. Maybe it's a negotiation tactic. Who knows? But, there's people who are well more educated in his contract than I am. And that's what I'm hearing. Like, he's got a no trade clause. Like, he's not going anywhere. The city loves him. The team loves him. Sure, he's getting a bunch of money from them, which is going to mess with the salary cap. But I think he's good here, and I think it's just a tactic, and maybe it's a way to explain away the season they had. Ah, he was injured. He wants to go away. Like, you know, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but it's a tradition now over here that he brings that up every year.
How do you balance sports in a music-intensive show? You're pop culture-oriented, playing the hits, but integrating sports in there as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, we try to just reflect the average listener. You know, the average listener has their team out here. It's the Seahawks. They want to know if the Seahawks win or lose. They want to know if Russell Wilson is injured or if DK Metcalf is in a scandal. They don't need to know, passing percentages and yards. And, you know, they don't need to know the third string defensive back has a sprained hamstring. You know, they don't need to go in that. They just want the headline. They want, did they win? is my team going to play this weekend? Are we going to the Super Bowl? Oh, Russell Wilson broke his finger. Okay, cool. Now play my favorite Ariana Grande or Jay-Z song. So we just try to appeal to the average listener, and we stick with the headlines, the more popular, superficial, if you will, when it comes to sports.
I heard you on today's show, maybe yesterday, as you covered the John Stockton issue, the former Gonzaga player who got basically kicked out of Spokane because he won't wear a mask. How do you deal with issues like that with vaccinations and masking and all that when you're trying to be a pop culture and be a fun show?
That's a great question. And it's not just me, everybody in radio, matter of fact, everybody in media probably had to learn this hurdle. In the very beginning, it was top of mind. It was a very new situation. The COVID, the mask, different states, different counties even had different lockdown procedures, different masks procedures, and everybody was curious with it. So you would talk about it. And then the burnout happened. And then after the burnout happened, the division happened and the sides happened. So we learned, hey, look, if something important comes up, because it's going to be on the news every day, but if something very important comes up, bring it up. If Seattle all of a sudden is going into a lockdown, or if Seattle all of a sudden is going to remove their mask mandates, or if Seattle is all of a sudden going to reinforce the mask mandates, bring that up. But you don't need the daily, you know, COVID this, vaccine this, pro, against, you know, for or not, because everybody's burned out and they do come to you for a relief and a release and some entertainment. And there's just so much that you can talk about when it comes to COVID, and people are burned out about that. And so we, like I said, we, if there's something major, we'll talk about it. Otherwise, it's everywhere else. And if you really want COVID news, you can go find it.
You know, the reason I got you on in the first place, got sidetracked with this other stuff, is working with the Kraken.
Yes. Right?
I mean, the NHL is now in Seattle, and I saw a great social media post of your kind of day behind the scenes doing hosting with that team. So tell me about that job. How'd you get it, and what's the day like?
Well, we've all been to those games, and, you know, whether it's a football or basketball game or a hockey game, and they go, hey, you know, section, you know, 212, row 5, you're going to get a free hot dog. So I went to a Kraken game. And they said, section 212, row L, seat 3, congratulations, you're the lucky fan who's going to work with us now. And I said, oh, cool. And they handed me a microphone. Sorry. it's a dream opportunity, and I have a blast every day doing it. We are partnered with the Kraken. iHeartMedia is partnered with the Kraken. And I made it known to the powers that be, I want to work there. I want to do in-game hosting. And I told everybody who would listen, you know, get me a shot, get me an interview, get me an opportunity. And sure enough, they got me in an audition. And I auditioned during a preseason game, and they liked me. And then I went for another audition with several other people who were making the final cut. And they liked my chemistry with some of the other hosts, and they brought me on board. But I was just very persistent telling all the higher ups, I want to work with them. I want to work with them. I want to be the guy that says section 212, everybody gets a free hamburger, or, you know, Dave, come out to the ice. If you make this slap shot, we're going to give you a car. Like, I want to be that guy. And it's a lot of work on game days, but I'm that guy now.
You mentioned a lot of work. I watched the little timestamps of what your day is like. And it's not just you walk in there at 6 o'clock, get ready for a 7 o'clock game and split. There's a lot involved. Take us through that.
Yeah, it's a lot involved. For example, a 7 o'clock game, the entertainment, so all the hosts, camera crew, the lighting people, the video people, we have a 1:30 meeting. So we have a 1:30 meeting for a 7 o'clock game. First hour, we review the script. And then there's a 2 hour or 3 hour dress rehearsal. There's a quick break, and then the lighting people do their things, the video people do their things, because there's always new videos. And then after dinner, a dinner break at 4:30, 5:30, the doors open, and so you're on. You're doing these like man on the street hits, like, we have a new jersey today, come to the team store and buy it. Or, hey, you know, warm-ups are starting, here's some stats for the game. And during every whistle and timeout and intermission, you're doing something else. You're doing something new. You're running around the arena to do your camera shots at different places. You're coming out on the ice. The game ends at 10, and then you head home. But it's a 9-hour day just for the game. On top of that, there's the radio show I do in the morning. So on game days in the middle of the week, it is a very long day.
That's got to be an extension, basically, of what you always did as a kid in radio,
yeah.
Driving a van around or emceeing a leg show or something like that.
Yes, I've done
both. I was thinking of my career. I apologize.
It is. And I was talking to my beautiful fiance about this, and she gave me the question, what do you like better, you know, radio or your work with the Seattle Kraken? And it's not that I like something better. It's just that with COVID and out here in Seattle, group events or large events are very, very few and far between right now. There's almost no concerts. We don't do the, you know, meet the van driver at this corner to get some free stuff. And, you know, there's no live events anymore. At least they're coming back. It's rare. So at the Kraken, being with people and interacting with people and being on a microphone in front of a live audience, that fills what we used to do in radio that has been taken away because a lot of promoters don't want to do live events or large events. So it's not that I have a favorite. It's just they complement each other very well. And I just love the interaction, the live interaction with people.
What's it like for you to put together a morning show? What's involved in prepping? And because I'm going to get into some of these subjects that you come up with. And it's not what you would think about when I'm thinking of the current events of the day.
Yeah. So I have a co-host named Lizette Love. And she's great. She is hilarious. She's a very strong single mother. So two things. One, we are both intrigued by random things, like intrigued by random things. And two, we made a pact both off air and on air to be very transparent with our listeners. What are we going through our daily lives? Most recently, I mean, let's not just harp on the whole COVID situation, but she's a single mom. And during remote learning, she has a 8-year-old that she needs to get up, get him on the laptop, get him into school. But she also has to be with us. Some days she actually had to broadcast from home because of the remote schooling. She had to be there with her son. I mean, it's just single mom duties. And, you know, those don't end. So we went through that on the radio. After every show, we talked to each other. Hey, what do you have going on in your life? Oh, well, you know, I'm going out to dinner for an anniversary, or the funniest thing happened to me, it was this and this. And we'll talk about things that go on in our lives because they're probably going on in other people's lives. And then we figure out, all right, what's the punchline to this story? What can everybody else relate to? And then let's tell your story, but then we'll tell it in a way that it opens it up to everybody else and they can relate to it. So that's one part. The other part is we're fascinated by random things, and I'll see a weird TikTok like this woman who said, I just learned that pigs can eat people. And to this day in 2022, farmers are having heart attacks in the pig pen and they die because the pigs eat them. And so I said, that's crazy. That is so random. How weird. And she said, yeah, how weird. And we had a bunch of calls and text messages and emails like, that does happen. There's a first 48 episode about it. Or my uncle, you know, was on a farm and it's true. He lost his brother to a pig eating accident. So it just goes down a rabbit hole that is intriguing to us. And it's not the typical, oh, Kanye West and Kim Kardashian are talking about each other on TMZ. Like, no, that's everywhere. I want something that really interests me. And right now, today, it's pigs who eat farmers that have heart attacks in the pig pen.
I sent you a poster from 1973, a movie called Pigs.
Yeah.
And it's true.
It's true. I'm trying to pull it up right now. Yeah, it is the weirdest thing. And I also brought up the fact, because I watched way too much TV. Yeah, here it is. I said, you know, if you watch The Sopranos, or if you watch, you know, First 48 or any like crime story, something's going to come up where the proper way to dispose of a body is you feed it to pigs, because pigs will eat everything. And I can't remember if they eat teeth or not, but that's what people do. And that's how people used to get caught, is they would feed their victims or their bodies to pigs, thinking that the cops wouldn't find them, but the cops end up finding them. Yeah, there's your movie poster that you sent me.
Yeah. In fact, this guy, he feeds fresh corpses, apparently acquired by grave robbing, to a pen of 12 pigs he keeps behind the diner.
Weird. Weird.
1973 in Detroit.
Weird stuff. So that's fascinating. That's just the what the hell type of conversation that breaks up the monotony of the Kim Kardashian, Joe Biden, you know, whatever stuff is all over TMZ.
Are you surprised at how some of this stuff kind of connects with an audience? How important, like, are the DMs and the responses from the fans to maybe egg you on to keep it going?
Yeah, very big. And we do rely on listener interaction, whether it's a text message or DMs. And we will, you know, throughout this show, we will read, hey, this text message came in from, you know, Dave in Tacoma. Hey, on Instagram, we just got a message from Susie in Seattle who said this. So we let people know, hey, we're live in the studio checking our messages and our DMs so you can connect with us at all times. And yeah, there are weird things. And we always get the messages like, hey, I always listen, but I've never, ever reached out to a radio station. But the same thing happened to me. Or, oh my God, I heard the story about whatever. And I had to reach out because... So they know that we are very accessible and we really lean into what they can bring to the show.
Do you remember when the only way to connect would be them calling you directly on the request line or maybe faxing their breasts, right? And then sending a picture of that, you know, on a machine. You've come so far in terms of being able to communicate with your audience in different ways.
Yes. Now they have to DM us photos of their breasts. There's no faxing anymore. So... Yeah, we make it easier for the listeners as well, Dave. I didn't do that with the fax machine. That was before my time.
I did.
Yeah, you did, not me.
That was the 90s. Hey, I want to get into some of the subjects you address on your show. What is mouth taping?
Oh, my God. So, again, going back to my fiance, who is deep in the health and wellness field. Backstory. I broke my nose a couple years ago. Since then, not only do I snore now, but apparently I breathe through my mouth. Breathing through your mouth is extremely unhealthy for a lot of reasons. You don't get a good night's sleep. That's why I have these bags under my eyes. It leads to cavities. It creates ADHD.
Cavities from breathing through your mouth?
Yeah, because it dries out your mouth while you sleep. There's a list. And we even had doctors call us during the show when we were talking about it. They go, yeah, man, don't be breathing through your mouth. So she found that in some cultures, they tape the baby's mouths shut so the babies will learn how to breathe through their nose. Now, people who, like me, breathe through their mouth, you have to train your body to breathe through your nose. So they sell the scariest looking mouth tape that looks like you're kidnapped and being held for ransom. You literally tape your mouth shut and then go to sleep, and it forces your body to breathe through it. Through your nose, and it's healthier and you get a deeper sleep, and it saves years on your life. So we just started talking about this because she ordered it for me and she showed me the photos of what people look like with mouth tape. And I'm like, I'm going to die. I'm going to suffocate while I'm sleeping. Yeah. I'm being held hostage. And so a simple story like that, being transparent, telling people what we're going through in our lives, led to a whole bunch of messages and calls. We had dental hygienists calling us up. I got several different like snoring companies reaching out to me, wanting me to endorse their product. But I think it's funny you brought it up. I think the order of mouth tape arrived today. So tonight is going to be my first night taping my mouth shut and going to sleep.
You got to get me a picture of that. You got to get me.
I will.
Are you nervous?
A little bit. Yeah. Because I've been trying to, I'll try to use those Biore strips that will open up your nose. And they work for a while, but I think it makes me snore louder. So the fact that I'm going to have a Biore strip on my nose and then tape over my mouth, I don't know what's going to happen.
You might not snore as much, but the blackheads will be gone. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, right. I just may not wake up. I don't know. I just think she's tired of me snoring. And this is her way to slowly asphyxiate me. I'm not sure what her plan is.
Well, the yoga breathing, there's a couple of different kinds, like Bikram. It's all through the nose, in through the nose, out through the nose for the 90 minutes. But there's other yoga breathing where it is into the nose and out through the mouth.
She does that also. It's called See, my mouth breathing left me with memory loss here. It's called Yasmin, what's the yoga that you really does that breathes a lot? Kundalini. There you go. The Kundalini. Kundalini is very through your mouth, and then Bikram is through your nose.
That stuff, the Kundalini, is real spiritual and
very
chanting and weird stuff like that.
You may like this because I know you do personal training on the side. We were talking about mouth breathing, and somebody, I wish I could have pulled his message up. Somebody said, I remember this verbatim, when I was in the pen, we used to work out and put water in our mouths to force us to breathe through our nose to increase our stamina. So there you go. A jail workout. Hold a bunch of water in your mouth while you work out. Apparently it's good for stamina.
And don't swallow. Don't you're doing so, that, just holding it the whole time?
Yeah. That came from one of our listeners who was in the pen previously.
Well, you did a whole segment on jail workouts, how different kind of exercises.
Yeah.
While you're incarcerated. Was that a part of the regular show or the uncensored podcast?
That was part of the uncensored podcast. And we got so many messages about it that we are going to bring it to the terrestrial show and open it up on the air to, again, continue that conversation. Just going back to the fact that I am fascinated by the just most random fun facts, you know, I don't know what you call it, the macabre even, but everybody is intrigued by jail stuff. I mean, crime podcasts and crime shows are one of the most binged and watched and listened to thing out there. There is an appeal of the taboo or the crime or the whatever. And these jail workouts, and there's also jail like beauty hacks, or, you know, you can make jail food. Like, oh, we can make birthday cakes using crushed up Oreos and, you know, cake frosting or ho-ho. So we have all these people that have messaged us their jail hacks that we're going to open it up on the radio, I think, next week with that conversation.
You know, one subject I heard that was kind of interesting, I didn't think about it, was having the talk.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, and I thought about that. I go, wait a second, I don't even remember when I had, quote, the talk or giving it. My wife has been great about that. She's going to handle that with our kids. And I apparently just freeze with that subject. But
yeah,
that's interesting that parents can relate to that. Any of your audience that's over 20, you know, can handle that.
Totally. And we do talk about, you know, Lizette is a single mom and she's raising a son, half black, half Mexican. She's raising him all on her own. And she goes through these things, you know, over during COVID and the George Floyd marches and the, you know, the Black Lives Matter demonstrations. Like, there was a lot that she was unaware of, but she had to be aware of for her son. And he's just turned 10 years old. And we brought up the subject of, you know, he's about to hit puberty and she's worried about, like, hey, doctor, how tall is he going to get? When should I expect puberty? And I asked her, when have you had the talk? And she goes, no, not yet. I'm like, well, he's 10, isn't he? Like, it's time for the talk. And she doesn't want to do the talk. She
is
will.
The talk 10, really?
Yeah. Well, 10 or 11, right? Isn't he about, it's about that time. That was the conversation. And people and listeners were saying, you should have done it already. Other listeners are saying, wait till high school. Everyone's got their opinion. Everyone's got their, you know, how to do it. No, make the dad do it. I don't care if you guys don't live together, make the dad do it. No, Lizette, you can do it. You know, ah, no, just give him a book. Like you said, Dave, everybody can relate to it because everyone has a talk with their son and daughter.
Yeah. I mean, it just got me thinking, like, I don't even remember getting that quote talk.
I mean, do you want me to break it down to you right now? Do you have time? Can I explain it to you? What really happens?
I've seen some videos.
A man and a woman really love each other. Okay. You're up to date. You've been briefed.
You described it as like adult hugs or something. What do you do? You use some kind of phrase, right?
A very special hug.
Yeah, very special. It's cool. Any other subjects that come to mind, like, man, I can't believe we went there and it really, you know, clicked with people. That's just over the last couple of days, just listening to some of your shows.
Yeah, most of the stuff we talk about, it's, man, I can't believe we went there. I mean, but we get such a good response because I think a lot of morning shows don't go there. They go with the, you know, the prank calls or the, you know, the dating traps or the TMZ headlines that everybody else talks about. So we just kind of go a little bit left field where most people don't. And we try to do it in a way where it will stir up intrigue. If you never thought about, for example, do pigs eat people? Or, you know, who tapes their mouth shut at, you know, when they go to sleep? Like, if you never thought about that, we want to bring that conversation up and be intriguing. So you'll key in and you'll listen for those 3 minutes. And maybe you go and tell people, or you look something up on TikTok or social media, like, I got to look this up. I got to check out what this mouth taping is, or I need to really find out if pigs are eating people or not. And then you ask your coworker, like, so that's our goal, just to kind of stick in your head.
Now, I guarantee you at the end of the show, people aren't going to remember you gave out the $1,000 to pay the bills or whatever. Yeah. They're going to remember the eating pigs, you know, that little weird stuff. It'll be something to talk about.
Yeah. Pigs eat people. That's so weird to me.
Strawberry on the radio with us. And when you were coming up, who were your role models?
Mojo. Oh, I cut you off. I heard role models. I just went right to Mojo.
No. That's the DJ that was on at nights when you started, when you were just a kid. But in terms
Mojo.
Of
Mojo.
Develop. Yeah. Thanks for just. Mojo was a DJ in Hot 97.7 around 1992.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, for your listeners that don't know our relationship, Dr. Dave was on at nights, night radio in San Jose, Hot 97.7, where I got my start. And he put me through the ringer, and he taught me everything from answering phones, taking requests, drive the vans, go do this, you know, call in, I'll put you on the radio. This is how you sound on the radio. So, no, I learned a lot from you. I always go back to JoJo. JoJo Wright is the Mount Rushmore of night jocks. That's undisputed in my book. Best that ever was. I kind of take pieces of people I like. I'll recognize things they do. And I'll see if I can do it better or different, or if they do something I don't like or that kind of turns me off, I purposely steer the other way. So I kind of analyze a lot of people on radio, but the people I was lucky enough to work with that I learned from, absolutely you, Dave, and absolutely JoJo. And Jazzy Jim also, because he did some radio for a while, not just on the turntables where people know him from, but he did some on air work, and he brought a vibe and an energy and an interaction that I really keyed in on and picked up some tips from. So right there.
I don't know if I told you, but the other day I was on a movie set and the woman asked me about just
about me. Schools.
Well, of course, but I'm getting to that. But she mentioned Club Vertigo on San Pedro. And I go, I don't really remember Vertigo much. I was kind of old school before that was Paradise Beach.
Yeah.
And she goes, Paradise Beach? Oh, yeah, I used to go to Paradise Beach. I said, yeah, you know, in my old job, I'd have to go there 2 or 3 times a week as part of the gig, but I liked it. And what'd you do? Well, I was a DJ, and I worked at station Hot 97.7. Oh, my God, Hot 97.7. So she's in her, like, mid-50s, but she remembers everybody, Strawberry, Renee Taylor, Lisa Fox, Elvis and JV, Dr. Day. I mean, it was awesome. And to think that you can have an impact, you know, 27, 28, 9 years later, you know, from what you did back in the day. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. And with radio, there's something magic about that where I think as an industry, they are losing that connection and that impact because radio used to super serve the local community. And, you know, you didn't have all the Spotify's, YouTube's, TikToks, you know, Apple Music. Like, I remember there was times when, hey, we have a brand new, I don't know, Snoop Dogg song. I'm going to play it in 45 minutes. Sit here. And now I could say, hey, I'm going to play a new, you know, Snoop Dogg song in 2 minutes. And someone could be like, nah, I want it now. And they'll go to YouTube and pull it up. So there was less distraction. But also, we had such a connection with the community and radio as a whole strived to be so local that there was a connection, and now it's more like, hey, here's a TMZ headline and we're going to give you a big prize soon. And I think we're losing that connectivity of 25 years ago. You meet someone, I was on the radio. I was at this club. What club? What radio? Nah, I don't remember you. I think we're losing that. And if DJs and jocks aren't careful, they're not going to have that connection to listeners. So you do need to connect in the community somehow, some way to forge that bond.
Do you remember the final night of that station, 97.7?
Very well. Very well.
Because you got to do an hour at night. You crushed it, you know, taking care of the board. But the parking lot was full of our fans, our audience. Yeah. It was San Jose. And, it's hard to think that could ever happen again like that.
Absolutely. Radio stations flip formats or shut down all the time. And they may get a couple comments on Instagram like, hey, I tuned in this morning and all of a sudden you're playing country. What happened? You know, at Hot 97.7, it was a 2-week promotion of we are going off the air. August 23rd is going to be our last day. And there was a live broadcast. They brought all the old DJs back who have since moved on. There was a parking lot party. You know, everyone was in there blasting the stereo up until midnight where the signal was transferred to somebody else. And because that radio station made a connection with the listeners in an era of radio making connections with listeners, that nowadays it's just somebody in a corporate office saying, hey, we could probably get more ad money if we flip this format and we go a different way and fire everybody and just change the Instagram name. You know what I mean? Like there's not people showing up in parking lots when stations flip anymore. You don't have that.
Do you remember the last song on that station?
Was it Boys to Men? Like, how can I say goodbye to yesterday or something like that? I thought it was along
those
lines.
It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. Yeah, there it is. There it is.
And then went silent after that.
Yeah, that was a good time. Do you remember that it was one of my last moments to say goodbye on the radio, and I was on the phone in the parking lot, and it was my big moment to thank everybody for wrapping their arms around me as a 17-year-old, 18-year-old kid from the area who got a little fame over 2 years. And I go to you and you're like, Dave, I'm down here in the parking lot. And you said, hold on, Strawberry. And you played this montage of me screwing up like all these outtakes of like, oh, let me do this again. 3, 2, 1. So again, my farewell, my goodbye. And here's Dave playing this 30-second montage of all my outtakes and me screwing up while I'm standing in front of a parking lot full of listeners. I'm like, oh, that's how he's going to treat me after all my years of service.
Strawberry, this is your life.
San Jose's Hot 97.7. They jam up at 575 and 948-1234. Let's go to the streets before we go and take some phone calls. Right. Strawberry doing his final call in with a radio station.
Oh, no. I'm going to do it one time. Here we go. 3.
Okay,
two,
go ahead, dude.
1. We got your, of course, we got your laugh. Damn.
Strawberry,
hello.
Our final night on the air. Hello.
What are you doing? We are always sitting on our next location is a well. The next
one. Here we go.
I don't believe I said that. Here we go. 3, 2.
I'm not taping this one. Is it?
What is he doing?
That one was good. This though, my favorite.
The South Bay is hot. 97.7. This is Dr. Dave, your radio slave. Well, let me see what he wants. Strawberry, you are on live right now, so watch your mouth.
What?
You're on live right now. Watch your mouth. What do you want?
I'm alive. Hi, South Bay. This is Strawberry. How you doing?
Well, what can I do for you?
You want me to do a little call-in? I got free pizza.
Yeah, I guess we are on the radio, Strawberry, so watch your mouth.
Oh, okay, what's up? It's Strawberry on the corner of McKee and Jackson. I'm not really on the air. Turn on the radio, man.
You are, sir.
Oh, okay, damn. Okay, what's up? It's Strawberry and Hot Man 3 live on the air, I guess. We are in front of Round Table Pizza on the corner of Jackson and McKee. Now, we're still honoring the San Jose Sharks, so we're swimming with the Sharks here at Jackson and McKee Round Table. The first 9 people that bum rushes us in a bathing suit, I'm going to hook you up with Round Table Pizza, the corner of Jackson McKee, on the air live without knowing it's Strawberry on the South Bay side 97.7.
Then with the gym.
Oh.
First off, how high was my voice? That was horrible. And you would never put me on the air live. I would drive the vans, I would call, I would record something. And I remember walking into that round table and I said, hey, I'm about to go on the radio. Can you give us some free pizzas to give out? And they go, yeah, sure. So I called you. I'm like, hey, Dave, I got some free pizzas. Can we do something? And you're like, you're on live. And I thought you were lying to me. So I'm walking back to the radio station van and someone in the van is waving at me. And until they opened the door and I heard my voice come out of the van, I did not know I was live on the radio. And bathing suit. Why did I think someone was going to put on a bathing suit and come over to round table just for a free pizza? What was I thinking? What the hell?
Hey, Strawberry, do you remember? And I could never get away with it anymore. Back when you were a punk and you came in and you were talking all kinds of shit one night. And I said, Strawberry, if you don't shut your mouth, I'm going to throw you out of the studio. I'm throwing you out of the building. And you just kept running your mouth. You just would not shut up. So I said, hey, Nelly, run the board. So I actually physically picked you up and threw you out into the hallway, shut the door. Don't ever come at me again like that. Now you got so big and jacked, I can never pull that off again.
I do remember. And that's funny. I think I was thrown out, like physically thrown out of studios two or three times in my life. So yes, I think you were the first, but it has happened before. You used to be in great shape and you used to be way more in shape than me. I mean, you're still in great shape, but at least I can hold my own now.
Yeah, the way you said
you used to be like way more than me, but I can hold my own now.
Tell me about the Uncensored podcast, how that got started. And obviously, when you say Uncensored, it's different than the regular show.
Absolutely. And it was, we started it when we started the Wake Up Show 3 years ago in Seattle. It was a way for listeners to learn more about us, who we are, our characters, our background. And we said, okay, after we do our regular show, we're going to record a podcast, 20, 30 minutes, but it's uncensored. So we can dive into more, you know, behind the scenes stuff, give people like a peek behind the curtain of radio, or maybe, you know, because they didn't want us in the beginning acknowledging that we weren't local, that we weren't from Seattle. And so it was a way of being like, hey, Lizette, what was it like living in Nashville or growing up in Salinas? And I used to be able to talk about Bay Area stuff. And then, you know, hey, maybe people will come to us if it's uncensored and we don't have to worry about the FCC rules or, you know, our boss at the radio station saying, don't say that you're from out of Seattle. So it just kind of started as a character building, as a way to introduce ourselves to the listeners on a deeper, more personal level. And then it just became something we did every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, where, you know, we can dive into, again, just more recently, jail workouts, pigs who eat people, Lizette having the talk with her son. And sometimes the topics are so good and our back and forth is so funny that we'll take little pieces of that podcast and put it on our morning show. But yeah, the Uncensored podcast is just a way to kind of like shake off all the FCC restrictions and the corporate, you know, rules. Just be like, let's just talk some shit for 20, 30 minutes. Like, let's just blow off some steam.
And that's another way to have your audience connect. Hey, how has it changed for you with having to use all these different platforms now? You got the regular show. You just can't be kicking ass for 4 hours on Cube 93.3. Now you got the podcast and you've got Instagramming and you're tweeting and you're doing everything else to, you know, promote and keep pushing that product out there.
It's a lot of work. There's nothing else I can say. It's a lot of work because if you do something, you do it on the radio. Okay. You also have to post it on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And if it's long form, I have to edit that video myself, put it on our YouTube channel, then blog about it on our website. And then, you know, take the video, put it on TikTok now also. And then on top of that, like you said, there's the podcast, there's the replay of the terrestrial show. So it is a lot of work, but you have to, because I mean, and I'm not only a client, you know, I'm the president. Like, there are people in radio who I've never listened to their show, but I'm friends with them and I think they are good personalities based solely on what they've put on their social media. I'll see clips of them on TikTok. I'll see clips of them on Instagram. I like their content. And so they, you know, we create a relationship and a friendship, but I've never heard their show once. I just know that they're funny. And that's why we have to do it, because somebody may not tune in to my show on Cube 93.3 from 6 to 10. They may, you know, work different hours, so they have to hear it on a podcast, or they have to hear the replay, or, you know, maybe my Instagram clip is so funny, my TikTok clip is so intriguing that it drives them to check me out on terrestrial radio. So you have to have all the plates spinning and all the wheels turning to bring them to you. You have to be everywhere at all times.
How's you really with that? Like on your spare time on a, you know, Wednesday night, yeah. Are you having to go and tweet a bunch of stuff and kind of be on the job, be on all the time?
She's very understanding. Luckily, I'm very lucky that she gets it. She's very understanding. She has a media background as well. But I do feel that, you know, it intrudes into our time, because we will be at a restaurant or driving somewhere, and there I am on my phone, not goofing around, but working. I'll be reposting something, or I'll be emailing something. You know, I'll come home from work and immediately open up the laptop and start editing a video that's going to go on YouTube and then blog and then condense it for TikTok and Instagram. So even though I'm, quote, home from work, I'm working for a couple more hours. And again, that eats into our us time. So it's something that, you know, you have to find a work-life balance, and I'm good at it, but I'm not great at it. And I fumble every now and then, and I stumble every now and then. So we'll go on vacation, or we'll take a weekend, and I'll turn my phone off. I'll silence Instagram. I'll put an away message on my email just to get a break. And I encourage anybody in any industry to do that. Like, just check out and have some me time. So we'll go a full weekend and I won't have my phone on me, just so that we can connect one-on-one.
Because I could just see in a restaurant, you're having a nice meal. Hey, you know, baby, how was your day? Wait, hold on a second. That food looks awesome. Let me take a picture of that.
Yeah.
And Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to let it go
sometimes. You got to let it go sometimes. And she's very understanding. And I do try to make an effort to draw that line and draw that balance. Sometimes they're just too much. Sometimes I'll get home from work and I'll still be on my laptop till 6-7 o'clock at night, editing videos and posting social media content.
Hey, what is it on your bio? It said that you'd like to sometime in your life open an animal sanctuary.
Yes, I love animals. I love dogs. And I think, you know, I'm a giving person, Dave. I'm a very nice person. But you'll see these stories about these farms in Texas or Mexico or whatever, and the guy just adopts all these stray dogs and he gives them a second chance. I would love to have something like that, where I can just clear shelters and give animals, you know, just a life on an open field, open farm. Like, that would be great. That would be an awesome, you know, I don't know if it, retirement is the word, but like, I would love to open something like that. I drew up plans, very rudimentary plans, for a doggy daycare before, because I kind of wanted to invest in a warehouse in an industrial part of the city and build a doggy daycare. So yeah, I do want to help the animals, and a sanctuary would be kind of cool.
Can you have an animal where you are?
Yeah, we can. Understanding our work life, it's not ideal. It wouldn't be ideal for the animal, because we travel so much. The building we're living in now is very pet friendly, but it's small. And if we were going to get another dog, it would be something with a lot of energy, a boxer. I like Sharpeys, Dobermans. I like big dogs that like to run around and wrestle. And locking them up in this house wouldn't be fair. We would need to move to a place that had a yard to give them, you know, to be less selfish. But we can, but we understand that now is not the time.
That's the thing about animals, in particular rescues. You know, I always say that they rescue mm-hmm. us because of how awesome they
Man,
are.
Man, it's great. But,
you know, they don't care what your ratings are.
Yeah.
They don't care if you got thrown out of a radio station by some guy. You know, they're there no matter what, and they, you know, appreciate when you feed them. And I can't talk about dogs.
No, me neither. I have such a huge, I have such a soft spot for it. It's unbelievable. Like half the accounts I follow on Instagram are either dog accounts or like, I mean, it's just literally half the Instagram, you know, people I follow are all animals, animal sanctuaries. There's a guy in Mexico who has a black leopard and a jaguar or something like that. Like I follow him and animal accounts all day on Instagram. I have such a soft spot for animals.
The hardest thing is obviously they don't last as long as we do. And I remember crying with my German Shepherd being put down and somebody told me that they don't last as long because that's God's way of letting you have more dogs in your life.
Oh, that's good. So,
it's okay. Then I can have 6 or 7. Okay. But it's a great way to look at it. And, appreciate the process even more.
Have you read Rainbow Bridge? Do you know the Rainbow Bridge poem?
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
I have not.
So, my first boxer passed away and I had an Instagram account for her. And I got all these messages of support and people kept putting rainbows in the comments. Like, what is this? And somebody said, hey, you know, Denali is going to Rainbow Bridge. I'm like, what is this? So I looked it up and it's a poem that I'm not going to make you read right now. I hope you're not Googling it. You're going to break down. Don't do it, Dave. Don't do it. Don't do it.
I'll wait for one.
So,
but it's not very long.
I know, but don't do it. Don't do it. So somebody sent me this Rainbow Bridge poem and it's basically a poem about what happens when your dogs pass away, your animals pass away. And so it's a very heartwarming, but heartbreaking poem. So when other people have their animals pass away, I'll send them that poem. Now, Lizette Love had her cat pass away. So I made her read this poem on the radio. And it was so funny because she broke down in tears for 5 minutes while trying to get through this poem. And I know you're reading it right now, Dave. I can see your glasses steaming.
No, stop. Don't do it.
But yeah, the Rainbow Bridge is such a heartbreaking poem, but it paints a positive picture on even though your animal is gone, they're out there happy somewhere in, quote, dog heaven.
No, it's the best. When are you going to start picking up the guitar again?
Every time I talk to you, you inspire me to do that. I think this weekend, and I've wrote a note for myself so many times, guitar this weekend. And this weekend there are no Kraken games. So I will carve out time this weekend. I will actually grab my guitar, as you recommended, out of the closet and I'll put it where I can see it. So that way it's not hidden. It's top of mind. I will jump back on the guitar this weekend. That was such a fun class. I took a class at a junior college like 3-4 years ago because I always wanted to learn guitar and it was so rewarding to learn how to play that. And then after the class was over, I played it a little more, but then I just put it in the, you know, I got busy. So I put it in the closet, but it's so rewarding and it's so relaxing playing guitar. It really is.
Yeah. Like some people surf or do yoga or whatever. You could just lose yourself playing guitar and even sucking at it, you know, for a long period of time, but it's awesome. It's an awesome
Yeah, it's a great challenge. It's so fun.
And the pop songs like Dua Lipa, mm-hmm. Oh my God, the 3 chords, 4 chords. You can jam and start levitating as you play that. I'm guaranteeing you, pick a song like that, you can learn it in a couple hours. Yeah.
And that's fun also because it's something that is recognizable. So then you feel better about yourself. Like, I know this song and I can play this song now.
Cube 93.3 Mornings, the wake-up show. With Strawberry. Hey, give everybody your social media information, how they can follow you, how they can follow the show.
Yeah, mine is at Strawberry Radio, and that's TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. All of them are at Strawberry Radio. The Wake Up Show is, all those social media is at It's The Wake Up Show. And you will see me and Lizette Love, and we have a guy named JC on the streets who we make do random things for entertainment. It's a good time.
Give Lizette some of my love. I think you make a great team. Great chemistry.
I do too. I really like her. And I think we have a lot of great chemistry. I love the show we're building and the team that we've made. So I will pass it on to her. Thank you.
You're the best, man. Kiss that girl for me. And I really appreciate the
visit. I will. Thank you for inviting me. Now go read that poem and cry in your bedroom with your microphone off.
not on the podcast. You're right. You got a deal, man.
All right, Dave.
For the Cube 93.3 Morning Show, that is Strawberry. You can't subscribe to the Dave Lewis Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts. Your positive comments are huge. The 5-star reviews make a real big difference. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to talking to you next time.